back to John 9 with me now. I want you to read a couple of verses again with me. John 9. Read verses 35 through 38 with me. The Lord heard that they cast him out when he found the man. He said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee." Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you? This is the story of a blind man receiving his sight, and this is a miracle. It was the work of God. It was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man said so. Have you ever heard of a man born blind being given eyes? No, you haven't. Only God could do that. And God did it. Jesus Christ did. And this is a picture of salvation, this man receiving his sight. We looked at it before, didn't we? The last time we looked at it, we just looked at the first seven verses as a picture of salvation. How the Lord in great love and mercy and grace and power finds someone who's blind, dead in sin, lost, gives them eyes to see, finds them by his grace, by his mercy, and quickens them by his grace. That's a picture of salvation, isn't it? The Lord found this man. The Lord looked on this man, and the Lord, man was blind, and the Lord gave him eyes to see. And all who have truly been saved by God's amazing grace, they love that song, Amazing Grace. John Newton wrote that with this in mind. Chapter 9, the man said, "I know this, I was blind and now I see." And all of God's people say that. They love that. We love to sing that, don't we? "I once was blind and now I see." However, the reality is, this man did not know Jesus Christ yet, did he? You read it with me. I read it with feeling. I read it with emphasis, didn't it? They asked him, "Who is he?" He said, "I don't know." "Is he a sinner?" He said, "I don't know." He doesn't know Jesus Christ. He saw some things. Now he sees some things. He has a little bit of understanding of some things. But he does not know Jesus Christ yet until Christ came to him and revealed himself to him and spoke to him. And he bowed down and worshiped Christ. Salvation comes when you meet Christ, not when you come to a knowledge of the truth. It's not knowing some things. It's knowing him. Brother Bruce and I talked about this. He said, "This message is so needed." John 17:3, the Lord said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." That doesn't mean know about him. That doesn't mean just you believe he's sovereign. And Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That doesn't mean you just believe he was sent and he finished the work and all that. Oh, no, you know him. And I'm going to try to explain that in a minute. Many know some things. Many have had their eyes open to some truths, but do not know Christ. That was me. That was me. You heard Brother Kevin confess that and admit that. He said, "I've always believed the truth." I knew Kevin when he was. We knew him when he was this tall. You think he was never that tall? Yes, he was. I saw him. Little boy. He's still just as cute now as he was then. But he's a man. Isn't he? And he stood up here and said, "I've believed the truth all my life. I was always believe the truth, and I didn't know Christ." And that was me. Gabe admitted that down in Arkansas. He said, I always believed the truth. And I didn't know the Lord. I believe Calvinism. I believe Tulip. And that is the truth. But that's not salvation. It's not salvation. And you can come to some understanding of the truth and have your eyes open and not know Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't discourage weak faith. I wouldn't discourage that at all. But I only want to encourage and exhort everyone in here, everyone who hears this, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in Him. On Him. And call on Him. Because whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in a minute, I'm going to try my best, God help me, to tell you what it means to believe on Him. All right, this man was blind. You saw it. You read it with me. He was blind from birth, and all men and women are. Nobody's really given true eyes to see unless God gives it to them. You don't just come to a knowledge of God. The doctrines of grace. People say, I came to know grace. Salvation is not knowing a doctrine, it's knowing a person. This man was told by Christ to go wash in this pool. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ commands everyone to repent and be baptized in His name. Doesn't he? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. And there's thousands, if not millions, of people that are baptized. I was. When I was 12 years old, I remember being emotionally upset over whatever. And there were other young people like me going down front, you know, and I went down front. And to this day, I don't know what it was that made me do that. I was just affected emotionally by something. I do remember saying, I'm a sinner, and, you know, and you believe, I believe, you know. And I was baptized 12 years old. I did not know Jesus Christ. Did not know it. Because, man, when I got a teenager, I hit the door. I'm gone. I'm out of here. And if you know Christ, you can't leave. You can't leave. He won't let you. If you do, He'll bring you back. Now, this man was a changed man. Verses 8 and 9, the neighbors said, This looks like old Bill. Let's call him Bill. This looks like Bill. Can't be Bill. Look at him. He's changed. Bill said, it's me. It really is. You know, there are many people who have had their eyes open to see that they're down and out and they're addicted to this and addicted to that and they need to do this and that and change, you know, turn over a new leaf and get smart and, you know, just change your ways. And they do. Have their eyes open to see. Look at this mess I'm in. That was me. This man is me. I 19, 20 years old or whatever, I moved back here from the Lord was bringing the prodigal back. And you know, there's grace before grace. The Lord does all things to bring, many things to bring you to hear His voice and to meet Him. But you're not saved until you do. But I remember 18, 19 years old, I guess I was, coming back to Ashland. And I was a hippie and all that. And I remember thinking, I'm going to straighten up and get a good job. And, you know, if I'm going to get by, I've got to cut my hair. I don't have to worry about that now. Won't grow, but I did then. You know, I got to cut my hair and just straighten up. And I heard there was a man in the church who was a contractor, pretty well off. And I need a job. I'm going to straighten up, cut my hair, and he gave me a job. I went and started going to church. I saw that my sister, whom the Lord had already dealt with. And she didn't, you know, she was a model child. She won the Good Citizenship Award. I didn't win that in high school. Well, she did. Daughters of the American Revolution and on. She's a model child and all that. The Lord had to convince her she was a sinner. The Lord had to come speak to her. She knew the truth all her life. The Lord had to come to her. But I remember thinking, I envy the relationship she has with my parents. I don't have that. Why? Because I was a rebel. And I thought, I'm going to straighten up. I know that they want me to come to church. I'm going to come to church. They're like that. And I'll get a good job. And I did. Came to church, got a good job, straightened up. And there was a young lady there. Oh, boy. Good job, good girl. That's why I came. Okay? Lord, it opened my eyes. You're in a pit. The prodigal son came to himself, didn't it? This is the Lord bringing to himself. But he wasn't brought home until he heard the father say to him, till the father fell on his neck and said, bring the best robe and put it what? On him. Put the ring on him. Put shoes on him. Kill the fatted calf. Now this man knows. Now this man's saved. You see? Not until then. But this man in our story was a changed man. And people, you know, come to have their eyes open and see what a mess they're in. And they straighten up. And others get religion. Many people get religion. And miraculously, they quit. Man's been drinking all his life. He quits. Can you believe it? Old Bill hadn't had a drink of liquor in years. We think. It's amazing. It's a miracle. That ain't salvation. Now, old Bill got religion. His neighbors, his friends, even his parents said, yeah, he's different. He's changed, man. That's not salvation. Salvation is knowing Christ. Are you with me? Maybe somebody in here right now. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 10 and 11, look at it. Verse 10 and 11, he said he's a man called Jesus. Man called Jesus anointed my eyes. What's he going to call him when this is over? He's going to be laying at his feet, the feet of his Lord. Yeah, a man called Jesus. And you hear people all over it about religions, Jesus this and Jesus that, and they're so zealous. This man was zealous. He started witnessing for Jesus. They said in verse 12, well, where is he? He said, I don't know. Do you know where the Lord Jesus is? Helen, do you know where the Lord Jesus is? Kelly, do you know where the Lord Jesus is? He's at the right hand of the majesty on high, sitting on the circle of the earth. Well, Jesus outside my heart's door knocking. Wrong Jesus. Where is he? I don't know. Maybe he's outside. Maybe he's here. Maybe he's there. I don't know where. I know where he is, don't you? But they said he's just a man. Down in verse 16, others said he's a sinner. How could a sinner do that? Sinner. And they asked this man, verse 24, they said, give God the praise. This man's a sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner or no, I don't know. You think he knows the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to this, and I read this to you years ago. I keep it in the back of this notebook just so that I can every now and then read it to you. A man did a poll of 10,000 so-called clergymen. 10,000. 1998. It's probably much worse now, but 7,500 responded. And he asked them if they believe the actual physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, 51% of Methodists said no. This is preachers. 35% of Presbyterians said no. 33% of American Baptists said no. They asked if they believed in the virgin birth of Jesus. 60% of Methodists said, no, we don't believe in him. If he's a sinner, and I don't know. What does it matter? Oh, my. Do you know why he was born of a virgin? Do you know why Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin? Do you know why? If you don't know why, you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know the truth. If he's just a man, if he's born of Adam, if he's a sinner, he can't save me. He can't save himself. He can't save anybody. Only God can save. 34% of Baptists said no, they don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. That was then. It's worse now. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. Oh, I do. I know. He's the Holy One. Even the devil said that. Thou art the Holy One of God. He's the only man. He's the only just man. I know this about myself. I'm nothing but sin. And I know this about Jesus Christ. He's nothing but holiness and righteousness. That's the Son of God. He's the only man ever lived without sin. And I know this. He's the only one that can save me. I can't save myself. Why? Because I'm vile. I'm sinful. How can he save me? Because he's just. He's holy. He's righteous. And God is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. And God made him. I know this much. I know this. And very few people do. And it's the truth. But when you find out he did this for you, that God made him to be sin for me. Laid on him. Put him. Put charged him with all of my sin. Man, that's when you believe on him. Not just in him. You see, all your hope is on his shoulders. On Christ, the solid rock. That's it. Well, our Lord said in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? This man said, well, he's a prophet. They asked him, he's a prophet, a prophet. You heard him. He's a prophet. He's that prophet. He's the prophet. He's prophet, priest, and king. The Son of God. The only mediator between God and men. The man, Christ. This man didn't know Christ. He witnessed for Jesus. He witnessed. He said, will you be his disciples? Will you believe on Jesus like me? Said he's a man of God. He couldn't do this if he weren't a man of God. Look at John 6 with me now. And they cast him out. They cast this man out of the synagogue. He was persecuted for his witnessing. You know, these people come to your door all the time, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all that. And you cast them out, don't you? You want them gone. Not because they're pests, is what they are. And people are zealous for their religion. People get religion and they make pests out of themselves. My dad used to say that most people get just enough religion. Listen, he said, most people get just enough religion to make them miserable and everybody around them miserable. People liked old Bill better before. Get out of here. We don't want you anymore. John 6, look at this. Our Lord said this, verse 29. He answered, and then they asked what they would do, should do the work, the works of God. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he had sent. Verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. This man is going to see Christ and believe on him. And he's been quickened by Christ. And now, like I said, there's grace before grace. And the Lord brings people through some things, open their eyes. But salvation is to come to know Him, to come through the hearing of the gospel. Believe, you hear His voice. You hear Him. Yes, it's Him speaking. This is the means God has used. And you hear Him speaking to you, revealing Himself to you. And you come to know Christ. You don't just believe in the doctrines. This is you. You don't just believe in depravity. You think, I'm depraved. You don't just believe in election. When you find out, you think, could He possibly have chosen me? Irresistible grace. You don't just believe in the doctrine of I believe irresistible grace, the Holy Spirit's sovereign. When He makes Himself irresistible to you. When you don't just believe in the perseverance of the saint, you persevere. I'm not leaving. Like the disciples, will you go away? No. Where? It's life. Life is beyond. I told you, that I changed. I lost some friends. I began to witness. I remember sitting witnessing to some of my old friends. Arguing with him about the Bible, about the truth. I stood toe-to-toe with a man down. I worked construction and stood toe-to-toe with a man with a shovel arguing the truth. I wanted to hit him over the head with my shovel. I believed it so strong. Sovereignty of God. And I wanted to hit him with a shovel. I didn't know Christ. I changed. I came to church. I lost some friends. I lost some friends. I was kicked out of the circles. But one day, I met the Son of God. And this man, our Lord came to him. He found him. See that? Verse 35. The Lord put him in this place. He was cast out. And where you're going to find Christ, where He's going to find you, is outside the camp with a bunch of outcasts. That's where you're going to be. Not mainstream religion. You're not going to find Him in Southern Baptist religion. You're not going to find Him in the Catholic cathedral. You're not going to find Him in all these places. Don't believe Him. He's not there. You're going to find Him where there's a bunch of once blind, now to see, dead, live, lost, found sinners just like you, that Christ found and spoke to. And He came to him and said to him in verse 35, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The Lord spoke to him personally. As said, I heard message after message. That's so. All men are sinners. It's so. God's sovereign. I believe that. Yes, God's sovereign. God, I'm a sinner. Yes. Yes, Christ saves. When He spoke to me, God's sovereign and you're in His hand. I don't know if He saved you or not. Christ died for sinners and you're the worst, but I don't know if He died for me. God chose some people. I don't know if He chose me. And He said, our Lord said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He didn't say, "Do you believe the truth?" He didn't say that, did he? "Do you believe the doctrine? Do you believe in grace?" Did he say that? "Do you believe on the Son of God, the express image of God, the only begotten Son of God, the only one God accepts, the Son of God, the only man God approves of, the only wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, the only mediator, the only priest, high priest, the only sacrifice, the only substitute, the only way, the only truth, the only life. Do you believe on the Son of God?" You can't see God, never will. He won't talk to you. He'll only talk to His Son. This is the Son of God. Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you? He said, "Who is it?" What's he saying is, I want to believe. I do want to believe. All right, the Lord is speaking to him like the woman at the well. "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that spoke unto you, you'd ask and He would give." She said, "Who is it? Who? What is it? Give me a drink. Yes, give me something to drink." What did he give her? Himself. the eunuch out there reading. Religious man, really a devout man, reading the Bible. He's reading Isaiah 53, reading about Christ crucified. He doesn't know it. He says, "Who?" The man, the Lord sent a preacher, sent out there to him. Philip, he said, "Do you understand what you're reading, Mr. Eunuch, Mr. Enoch? Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I? No. Show me." See, the Lord created an interest. The Lord created a need. The Lord created a desire. The Lord doesn't save theologians. He saves fools. He doesn't save people, "Oh, I know that." No, no, no. He saves people who don't know anything. That's where you got to start. That's where he starts with you. Who is he? He says, "You've seen him, and I'm talking to you." Didn't he say, "This is the will of the Father, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life." All right, here's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. With the heart, man believeth, not the head. The heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. What we're talking about is life. Life is created. Love. Where there's life, there's love. Heart. If the heart is beating, you're alive. The heart is the seat of the affection. The heart is the seat of desire. The heart is the seat of love. Love, life. We're talking about life. Where there's life, there's hunger. There's thirst. Where there's life, there's joy. There's sorrow. Where there's life, there's laughter and there's mourning. Life, love, all right? To believe with the head is to believe in water. I believe water will meet your need. I believe water will meet thirst. Yes, I believe with all my head that the water will meet your thirst. To believe with the heart is to be thirsty and take a drink. And there's satisfaction. To believe with the head is to believe that's a bench. That's a bench. Yeah, you can sit on it. It'll hold you up. Yeah, you can sit on. That's a bend. To believe with the heart is to be tired and want rest. And you go and you sit on. You're not tired. You're sitting there. I'm tired standing there. If you've been in religion and you've been working, you've been trying, you can't do it. And if you ever hear of Christ, your only rest from your work. Oh, you say, "I believe." To believe with the head, the preacher has to convince you to confess Christ in believer's baptism. He'll convince you. To believe with the heart, you'll ask him. You'll beg him. "Here's water," the Enoch said. "Here's water." It doesn't matter how you say it. We know who you are. "Here's water. What doth hinder me? Let fill it. Would you fill the pool, please, preacher?" I can't tell you how many people somebody wanted to be baptized. Said, "Let's just wait a while." A preacher tell the man, "No, let's wait." Yeah. Because if God's in it, he'll keep coming back. And he did. And people have done that. "Is it time yet?" Finally, I realized, "You're serious, aren't you?" Like loving a woman. She won't have to beg you to marry her. You beg her. Oh, with a head, you know, a preacher will convince you to pray and to read your Bible. Boy, if it's in your heart, you can't live without praying. It's like breathing. You've got to call on the Lord. You're calling on the Lord. You're not just praying. You'll quit saying grace and you'll start pleading for grace. You know that? That with a head you say grace. With a heart you plead for grace. With the head you talk about religion. With the heart you believe Christ. Christ is your religion. preacher, with your head, if it's in your head, he'll have to convince you you need to keep coming to church. If it's in your heart, you'll be there 30 minutes early and won't want to leave. That's life. Life's in heart, desire, need, hunger, thirst, love. If it's just in your head, you'll talk about those people down there. Those people down at the church. It's in your heart, you'll say with Ruth, those people are my people. And don't you be talking about my people. If it's in your head, you'll get mad at God and you'll defend yourself, justify yourself. If it's in your heart, you'll get mad at yourself and defend God and justify God. If it's in your head, you'll find reasons not to come. The excuses why you should leave. If it's in your heart, you'll beg God not to let you leave. And you won't find a reason why you should be allowed in that place. If it's in your head, you'll get mad at the preacher. And you go back to your family and things. If it's in your heart, you'll get mad at you'll leave your family and everybody and defend the preacher. If it's in your head, you'll say, good sermon. If it's in your heart, you say, what a savior. If it's in your head, you'll believe in Christ. If it's in your heart, you'll believe on him, meaning all your hope is built on Christ, the solid rock. Let me give you an illustration, and I close. David's brothers were standing there. All his brothers were standing there, David's brothers. And out in front of them was a foe named Goliath. And they were all scared to death. They heard him say, I'm going to take you. I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to take you captive. I'm going to kill all of you. And they were scared. There's nothing anybody could do. They were all scared to death. And the son of Jesse came along. He said, is there not a cause? And he went right out in front of all of them. And every one of those brothers is standing there. They can't do anything. They're scared to death. And no match for this man. And you see, all their hope, all their fears, all their worries, all their doubts, their life, their future, their everything was riding on the shoulders of that one out there standing before him, facing that giant. If he doesn't win, well, I'm a goner. And they saw him do what he did. They despised him before, they don't now. All depended on him. And buddy, if you ever see that you are the sinner, you're the thief, that you're Mary Magdalene, that you're the one, you won't just believe in depravity. You'll think, the Lord, could the Lord save a sinner like me? Would he? A wretch like me? That's what John Newton said, a wretch like me. Believe on Christ is for Christ to be all to you, over all. For Christ to be all to you over everyone and everything. You must have him. You must have him. And you value and you need and you love and you follow Jesus Christ over everybody. You leave your family, you leave everybody. You love him above your husband, above your wife, above your parents, above this world, above everything. He's all. That's what that means. Believe on him. Your whole life, soul, depends on him. Christ is your all and in all. Is that you? Do you believe on the Son of God? Okay. John, you come lead us out.